Okay, let's begin. We are up to Simen Lamed Gimel. We are up to Simen Lamed Gimel Halacha Ches. Simen Lamed Gimel Dvarim Ho'asurim Yishum Sakana.
Which Simen?
Lamed Gimel.
Which
Ches. Halacha Ches. It's on page. It's on Kuf Pei Ches. On the handouts, page Kuf Pei Ches. Simen Lamed Gimel Halacha Ches. No Hagim, the custom is Shabbashas at Kufa, Manichim Kitsas Barzel al Kol Hamashkim Vahamacholim, Vial Hamavushalim, but Vial Hamavushal, Vial Kvushim, Oimuluchim, Ein Tzrichim. Okay, in some of the calendars is printed at Kufa. The Kufa is the time of the year when we switch, four times a year we switch seasons. Spring to summer, summer to fall, fall to winter. Problem is, when is the tkufa? The tkufa, the way it's calculated in the secular world, is not exactly the way it's calculated according to halacha. I don't remember, there are a lot of details how to make these calculations. I don't remember the calculations, but let's, in some of the luach, I believe the luach tells you when is the halachic change of tkufa, and it used to be the minhag, they would announce it on Shabbos. The Shabbos before the Tkufa, they would make the announcement. When is the change in Tkufa? Why do we need to know the change in Tkufa? Because if you have water, that water, even water that's not exposed, water that's in a container, or you have food that is in your refrigerator, it has to be discarded. Because of the sakana that happens when the seasons change. What's the solution? The solution is to put a piece of barzel, to cover it in the water or in the food, and that will spare you from the sakana. Obviously, this is some type of mystical thing which we are not familiar with. Bizman Azel, we're not nizer in this for many reasons. Number one, we're not on the madrega to really have any to worry about these type of sakanas. Number two, since every building, every structure, and every pipe is barzel, that is sufficient to take away the sakana. We have pipes, we have buildings, there's barzel in every facility, somewhere, somehow, and that takes away the sakana. And certainly when it comes to foods that have been cooked, or have been pickled, or have been salted, you do not need to worry about this issue. But yet, minhag avosinu miyodeinu, if you'll go to certain shuls, don't be surprised if you hear on Shabbos, when they announce, same way they announce the molad, they'll announce that this week is the tkufa at this time, 6 o'clock, and everyone should prepare for the.
How do you calculate?
I don't know.
It's the solar, it's the seasons.
But it's not. When they hear on the radio, today is the first day of spring. I don't think it's a little bit different. The way it's calculated according to Jewish laws is off by a day or two, something like that. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know the answer. There is some kind of calculation of how in halacha we calculate the tkufas, the four tkufas. It's a little bit different than the way you'll hear on 10-10 wins. Okay, let's look at Zion. Okay, this is from Zion in the Bond yesterday. We did this with Zion. This was from yesterday. Okay, you want to do Zion from yesterday? You should not sleep in a room. We learned yesterday. Okay, we're going back with yesterday. A person should not sleep in a room alone. It's a sakana to sleep in a room all alone. Zion, the revelation, you're putting your life in your hands. Bayis does not just mean a house, it means a room. You should not sleep alone. Okay, if your wife goes on vacation and you're all alone, it's sakana to sleep alone in a locked room. If your room, the door is open to an adjacent room, then it's no problem. However, to lock the door is a problem. If it's pitch black dark, so that's the heter. So the zman is that you live in the house, okay, you're even the children, and they have a private room. To lock the door in a private room, according to some opinions, it's a sakana. It's sakana, and in fact, I've seen over here, brings down in the Pesukei Shuvos, there is such a thing to it. There are people, bizmanas, that are like not to sleep in a room all alone. The heterim are because there's light, like we said, and if you don't lock the door, you leave the door open, it's okay. Then I once saw a shal. What if I have a shal of yichud? If you're not going to lock the door, you can have a problem of yichud. So of course, the halachas of yichud are more chomor than the laws of sakana, in this instance at least. So if a person is in a place where there are where people can come into his room, and you need privacy in order to avoid any issue of even though you're all alone in a hotel, you have to lock the door for safety reasons and for also for issues of yichud. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Halacha test. Also, lecha b'chol mashkim shenav shalom kosher bohem. What is it over here? Kotza. I have here, the grill should be kotza. You have here kosher. Here, I'm, the other gift says kotza. A person detests or mitochelim shemusim shenav shalom kotza bohem. Something which is disgusting. It is forbidden for a person to eat something which is disgusting. It can bring a person to sakon. It's not healthy. V'chein lo yechal b'yadayim mezamos dvam pshutim to not eat with dirty hands. Shekol elu heim b'chlal. Al teshaksu. It's all in Isra Deraisa. Al teshaksu. What?
Filthy.
El bechlal al teshaksu es nafshay seichem. Torah says, do not make your neshamas, do not make your neshamas loathsome, detestable. Ve'afilu yomar she'ei nafshay kotza bohem. Even if for you it's not disgusting, this type of conduct is not disgusting. Bot lo dayto eitzel kol adam. To eat spaghetti with ketchup with your hands is disgusting, even though you have no problem doing so. Nafshay bodlei daita eitzel kolodam, b'hem bodlei daita eitzel kolodam. Halacha yud behema oif shayu misukanim v'nishchatu v'sanogi os. But in the slaughterhouses, an animal that is old and is deathly ill, you're not allowed to eat, even though it's a kosher shchita. And when you check the lungs, it's beis if glat. It doesn't make a difference since the animal is about to die. That is considered to be dangerous. Because it might not be healthy, although it appears to be 100% kosher, but being the animal is ill, it's weak and it's old, who knows, it may have some disease, and that disease may be transferred to you if you eat it. Also,
how would you know if
it's resolved?
You're not the
shaykh. Exactly. It's not okay. Us. You're trusting the kashrus agencies. You're trusting the FDA. You're not your enochanami. This is something which is outdated because we don't go to the market. We don't have in our home birds and animals which we slaughter on our own. Absolutely.
So is this less than glad?
This is
less than glad.
No, it's glat. It's beis Yosef glat. As far as kashrus is concerned, this is a health issue.
No, what I'm saying, this is more than
chamira sakanta yoser meisura. That's right.
But this is not sakanta, you say.
It is. These are the halachas. Look at the title: Dvarim ho'asurim mishum sakana.
So this is all sakana.
All sakana. Is all either mystical sakanas or these are physical. These are health issues. An animal that is old and sick, although the shechita was done in the best way possible, and although the lungs have been inspected and have been determined to be the best beis Yosef glat, the fact is the animal is old and sick, and who knows, there may be some disease. And that disease is hidden from us, and when you eat it, you are taking that into your body. It's sakana.
Nowadays, they pass the law, by the way, secular law.
Yeah.
Because of mad cow disease. Yeah. The animal that you slaughter, doesn't matter kashrus, not kashrus, you have to certify every animal. It's less than 30 months old.
Less than 30 months old.
The animal is young enough not to have been contracted. It's a new thing.
Fascinating.
Mad cow disease started. You have to have every invoice you get from the shlachtos has to be stamped that the animal is less than 30 months old, or else the meat is not allowed to be in your place.
No out the bag.
So no out the bag.
What did they do with the out the bag?
They didn't have a chance to contract
the they never get
cow.
Out. Not a title.
What happens to the Alta Behemoths? What happens to the Alta Behemoths? They go to Koilo. Wow, okay. Let's go further. Okay, now we come to a very halacha, which is a major, major problem. In a major problem. Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph. Okay. Osir liktzois ilon machal oisa peros. You're not allowed to cut out a fruit tree. This is sakana. Okay, so obviously this is not a physical sakana, this is a spiritual sakana. You're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree. What are the laws? So here it says in the parentheses, ilon zayis shu oisa roiva kav zesim. I don't know what he means here in the parentheses. So he's limiting the halacha, it seems, to two different types of trees. Olive trees, which produce at least one roiv akav, a quarter of a kav, a certain measure, small measure of olives, and a palm tree, which produces a kav, four times that amount, a whole kav of dates. The who? Sakana.
Does this mean literally a whole tree or pruning a tree?
Even pruning the tree. Even no, cutting off a branch. Even though, if you're pruning it, then it should grow better. It's smooth. I'm sorry, just to cut down a branch, it's in your way. You want to build a sukkah? Well, a sukkah we'll get to. It's a dvar mitzvah. But let's say you have a backyard and you just there's one branch that's bothering you for no hangover. To cut down even a branch, since that branch can produce fruit, you're not allowed to. It's the same halacha. You're right. You made a good point. Lav dafka the whole tree. Even a branch of the tree that produces fruit is included in the prohibition. If you're cutting it to prune it for the health of the tree, it should grow better. Obviously, that's dafka shalom. That is permitted. That's for 100%. Let's say it's in the vicinity of other trees which are more valuable, and too many trees in one area is going to weaken. Too many trees in one area is going to weaken the trees. So one of them has to go. Which one should be cut down? The one that's the least value, or the one that has the least value is a fruit tree. It doesn't matter. That is an exception to the rule. It's causing them to become weak. Let's say you need the location. Why do you need the location? You want to build something. It now does over here, according to the Kitzur, he's extremely lenient. He's not telling us that it's for the Dvar Mitzvah. You just have a legitimate reason why you need the Makom. You want to build a house. Not for the Dvar Mitzvah. It doesn't make any difference.
Are we passing like this?
It's very complicated. Not necessarily. It depends. Every situation is different. You cannot not generalize. Okay, well, let's read halacha. Let's say the wood is more valuable than the fruit that it produces. I can sell the lumber more than the fruit. In that case, it's permitted. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch appears to be extremely lenient in when he allows you to cut. Firstly, he makes this idea only when dealing with olive trees. He says, he throws that in. Olive trees. And also, he says a significant amount of fruit. And then, if the tree is causing problems, you need its makom. He doesn't talk about a dvar mitzvah. He doesn't talk about selling it to a guy. He doesn't. He just says if you have a legitimate reason to cut down the tree, it is a-okay. However, many other places are very, very machmer in this issue. All different madrigals are machmer. Even if we have fruit trees that you would never eat the fruit. And then we once had a gardener, and we had a fruit tree, and we wanted to build a sukkah, and it was in the way. So my father was telling the gardener, you know, it's a fruit tree, and the halacha is, you know, that I cut down a fruit tree. So the gardener says, "Oh, I wouldn't eat this fruit. I would never eat these berries. This, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know what the doctors say about it. But as far as I'm concerned, it's poison. I wouldn't touch this. You worried about it? He was a guy, an Italian. He knows the difference. So, however, he brings that to the Piskei Tshuva. So I'll even read what it says over here. There are many different opinions. Let's say they're young. They have not yet produced fruit, but give it a couple of years. Give it 10 years. And 10 years from now, they'll come to a point when they will produce fruit. They're poisonous. They're sour. They're not quality fruit. They're grade D. Okay, this grade A, B. They're below the sub quality. There are worms in this religious environment. Okay, there are worms. They will never get away with the kosher angels. They will never let you market these fruits because they're infested with worms. It doesn't matter. Fruit tree is a fruit tree. This is some type of spiritual sakana. There's life. There's fruits. Yeah. This is not only, he brings down a lot of sources here. It's not only the Sefer HaChassidim. It's not only. Pirus ki ha'adam eitz hasada. The pasuk compares a human being to a fruit tree. Ki ha'adam eitz hasada, a tree of the field. And just as man produces fruit, trees produce fruit, man produces fruit. So you don't want to play around with this type of thing. Furthermore, reading what it says over here, it's also l'kaitz. The yesh, then he brings a lot of svarim, a lot of sources, not just the sefer hachasidim. The yesh, ayimim shlolitzas afilu ilan. Furthermore, look what there's another chumrah he says. Even an ilan srak, a tree that does not produce fruit. She'enim oitzi perosav. Don't be so quick to cut it down. Halacha l'maisa. It all depends on the situation. No one's running to cut down fruit trees. And no one should be running to cut down even a regular tree. However, when you have a need, it all depends on the need. If you want to build a sukkah, that's l'tzarach mitzvah. So it's very easy to find, very easy to be lenient to cut down a tree if you need to build in that location a mitzvah. If you want to build, you need to do construction, and it's in the way, or it's causing damage, it's causing you, it's uncomfortable, it's mutter. However, some poskim advise to come on to certain legal loopholes. First, sell the tree to a guy. Just like you sell your chametz to a guy, sell the tree to a guy. It should be his tree. And then have it cut down. Or, and furthermore, you should not do the...
Cut it down like it's his tree?
Well, technically... No, well, that's another issue. Another thing is, you should not be the one to cut it down. You should hire a non-Jew to cut down the tree. So when you use these two kulas, and you have a good reason, the olam is pretty much lenient. You have to have a reason. Don't just do it for fun. Number two, sell it. Make a kinyan with a guy. You have to ask the rabbi how to make the kinyan. The proper way to transfer ownership, it's karka. It's not like you sell chametz. Chametz is metaltalin. Karka is nigna bekesef. It's a different type of kinyan fix for karka. And let the guy cut it. You should not be the one who cuts down the branch. When you do all these things together, the minik olam is to be makel. Yeah.
Veretsky,
a land house. It was a tree.
And they had the tree right
in the middle of
the shul. That's a very big chumrah. I'm sure they could have.
The guy who owned the property didn't let him.
Yeah, well, that's why they want.
There also are laws. There are very big trees on property. I don't know. I don't know. There are. Okay, I don't know. I don't know what the issue there was. They were machmir. Chassidim are much more into this. The Lufaks are not so. And they're much faster to cut down trees than the Hasidim. Ki Adam eats asada. So of course it's a sakana. The city will come and cut it down. The tree can collapse. Yeah, if it's the tree is a sakana, chamida sakata yosa. So certainly you're allowed to cut down. That's the best reason possible. But this, it is an issue, and it's not something that should be done without thinking. So let's go to the next. Now, once we talk about the sefer Hasidim, he brings down here. Let's see what he says in the Shi'arim Mitzvah Halach. He brings in other inyanim that are similar because of sakana. Yes. Also, liktsayis ilan machal abayim sefer chasidim shelo yitotz adam tana v'kirayim. Now, we don't have these things today, but in ancient ovens made from clay, there's also a sakana. You're not allowed to demolish a tanur or a kirayim, like in the picture books in Masechta Pesachim and Masechta Kelim. These small ovens made from clay. Ki sakana gedoyla kol oisa ela. The sefer base David kasav de zedav kol tzerach v'shus. You want to go build a shul in that location, right, land house. What would have been if they would have cut down the tree? You'd be able to dive in it. It would be a little more comfortable in the shul. So, what?
Land that was paying rent there.
Wasn't there property?
No.
No,
it was printer's property.
Okay, whatever it is. I don't know the story there. It's a very bizarre story. That was a very thing. So, there's no concern. The ayin b'shalas tshuva savnei tzedek shekabalu biyodo kasheretzin lehokel binyanei tzavos from Yehuda Chassid. When a person wants to be lenient, well, this does come from Yehuda Chassid. This is one of the sources. Yelei dash shloisha maskim lehokel. You have to have three poskim. You have to ask the shayla by three poskim. Like you have hetem erabonim. A person wants to take a second wife. Need a heter meirabonim. Need a heter shloish rabonim.
You ask 10 poskim. As long as you have three, it's good enough.
Da shloisha maskimim lehokel. Three rabonim must give their own independent opinion that it's mutter. That's one of the big problems. Heter meirabonim. Heter meirabonim. Maker hadin. Those who criticize heter meirabonim. It was established by Gershom only that 100 independent minds.
Right.
Unfortunately, that today is almost impossible. Because what happens is, you look who signed. If Rav Moshe signed Hetamei Rabbanim, So everyone's going to sign. Everyone's not afraid. Rav Moshe signed only in case where Rachman would stun people. They lost their minds. They were in an institution. Rachman would stun a person who's mamish. Not that they yotzamidaitai.
That's why there's a problem with
Malkiel Kaddish. Oh, not here to talk about these things. Head to the Mayor Abadim have a very, it's a very, very big topic, a very controversial topic. But I'm saying over here, there is a concept that you need 100 independent opinions. Problem is, most of the main, once certain major Abadim sign, then the Talmidim also will sign right away.
That's why
you have to know the 100%. So I'm just saying over here, 100%. So here we'll see. Have over here three rabbanim. Doesn't just mean a carbon copy. You go to a bezdin, and there's the Rosh bezdin. You have two puppets that sit on the side. They've just been trained, and the one that's leading the show is the Rosh bezdin. No, you have to have really three different independent minds come to the conclusion that in this situation it is permitted. That's why you start with the younger one. To some degree, let me hear what you have to say. A lot of the batadinim today, a lot, unfortunately, because the dayanim are paid so little and it's so hard. It's not like that. They really basically you go to one rav, you have one dayan who knows his stuff, and then he has two assistants who are being trained perpetually. Exactly. That's not what it says here. It says here. Fascinating. Look what he says. Nice leniency. Rabbi Bruon is always comes to the rescue. They were not so machmir in these things. They came on the Doshu Barab Shabbat Pesayim Hashem. Unbelievable. Doshu Barab. People do it all the time. People chop down fruit trees all the time, and nothing happens. So therefore, we see nothing happens. So therefore, it's okay. He writes a chiddush that a woman who marries two husbands, she's married twice, and both of her husbands die. So she can she get married a third time? According to the Gemara, no. If a woman was married twice and both husbands died, Mikar Hadin Chazaka two times, three times, she's not allowed to marry a third time. There's a sakana for the third husband. But it's nice in the Chol Yom, he says. Nice in the Chol Yom. A woman marries, two husbands die, and she gets. Why? Because it doesn't happen. The third husband usually survives. Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem guards the fools. Some say that these he will only say for his children. That, and when he's talking about this, that's referring really to destroying an oven. An oven or tanor, or things like marrying women who have the same name as your relatives. I don't think it's referring 100% to the case of cutting down a tree. Cutting down a tree is baltashkes. It also borders on a prohibition of a loisas say of a baltashkes. It's the primary, just like not wasting food, but it's the real thing. You're not going to cut down a tree with eight smachal who... Torah says, don't cut it down, don't waste its fruit. So it is more of a halachic inyan in cutting down a tree than there is in the other inyanim.
That's why he says it has to have sufficient bushels of food that you use it for food.
It should be called not bal tashchis. But even if it's not bal tashchis, it's not producing food which is significant, so it will not be called bal tashchis. There's still an element of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, don't cut down the tree no matter what. That was only said for his family, his descendants, was not accepted by the majority of Klal Yisrael. People do it all the time, nothing happens. So therefore, there's grounds to be lenient. Okay, let's go further. Halacha Yud Beis. Hachoshesh B'meyof. Someone has a pain in their stomach. What do? You go to the doctor. However, it used to be Yesh Oisim Rufua Shemamidim Al Bidne Kli Sheyesh Bay Mayim Cham. You put, it's called Bankis? Bankis?
Hot water bottle.
What is it called in Yiddish?
No, it's called hot water. Bankis is a
cup with alcohol when you put a little fire on it.
Okay, fine. So you put a hot water bottle, Kli Bidna Sheyesh Bay Mayim Cham. Also, Lassos came in the Asakana. He says, don't do so. Do not use a hot water bottle because sakana, you'll boil up water and the water will spill on your stomach and you'll be in more trouble than you were when you started. That's what he says. What does it say on the bottom? Does it say anything over here? Let me see the show. I have here the bottom. He says here. Okay, same thing. This is The Gemara Pesachim, we had this not so long ago in the Pesachim Lo Yas V'chein Lo Yeragil Lishbech Al Basar Mayim Chamyas Midashu Kasha Letzaras. The Gemara Pesachim says, don't pour boiling hot water on your body; it can cause leprosy. Okay, same idea, but he says not to do this. Obviously, times have changed. Whatever the doctor tells you to do, you do. Yud Gimel. Also, La'arav V'nachal Shemem B'rev. You're not allowed to go in. You're not allowed to go take a swim in a stream that has a strong current. Sakane. Imamayim Agim L'malam Ignim Masnayim. We all hear stories. Rachmana L'Tzlan. In the summertime, people they go into streams to get washed away. It's sakane. Even people who think they're experts, you never know. Imamayim Agim L'malam Ignim Masnayim. The water is above your waist. It's Mishum Sakane Shlo Yishtefu Hamayim. Yud Aleph. Also, L'chaytzi Mipiv Dvar Puranos. New sakana, a Kabbalistic sabana. Al tiftach piv lasata. The person should never underestimate the koyach adibra. The whole man, human is unique, and he has a koyach adibra. If a person curses his friend, you never know how far the curse can go, or the koyach of a curse. And certainly, you should never curse yourself. That's a sakana, real sakana. Also, lohoitzi mipiv dava puranis al adam Yisrael. Never say something bad should happen to another person. I feel lemar ilu hoya ploni kayim hoya bolakan. If so and so was alive, it would come to him. In other words, something hypothetical. Even to say something hypothetical, you never know what can happen. I heard someone told me this. I don't want to say who it is because I don't want to say anything bad. But before the fall of the Twin Towers, before 9/11, 2 weeks before the 9/11, there was a very Choshev, a very distinguished Rosh Hashiva, and he was giving Musa Shmuz. It was Elul. It was the beginning of Elul, and he was giving a very powerful Musa Shmuz to a group of Talmidim, and he was talking to them in Zer, and he said, "Well, you think everything is forever? You don't think it could just happen that the Twin Towers can come crashing down?" He said this 2 weeks before 9/11. Can you imagine that? And then 9/11. What?
And how long afterward did this come out?
No, so it came out right away. The government. What? I don't think he said it. He was even masked. Who could be massive? What happened 9/11? It's not shaykh to be massive. He was just talking. And then what? 9/11? 2 weeks. He said this, and he's not a lightweight. He's no longer living. He's no longer living. He died a number of years ago. But he was a major, major player. Right? A major player in Klal Yisrael. And like, what?
They tried it 10 years before.
Yeah, they tried it.
So maybe you think about that would happen from 10 years before. Okay. What? I don't know. I don't hear his reaction. But the people who told me them were certainly shocked. I'm sure the government, if they knew about this, they would have an FBI investigation. I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would. Did you hear what the news yesterday that the NSA they listen to the Pope? they have all the telephone conversations.
That's because he used to sing Kalbach.
Also, Lohotzi, you cannot, according to a new information release, you cannot. Every phone call you make today and every email you send today is recorded. Every telephone call and every email. Everything.
They built in Utah a multi, gigantic, tremendous facility that has electrical problems. They don't have enough electricity, so they got short circuit around.
But it's all there. There's no secrets. Chol ma'asecha b'sefer netavim. Yud aleph. Asur lohoitzei mipiv devar poranus al odam Yisrael. I feel lema ilu hoye ploni kayim hoye bo lekan. If he would be alive, so and so would happen. So it's the person's not living anymore. So it's not even possible today. Nevertheless, you should not say. You don't know the effect it could have on the person's neshama in the next world. Or you don't know. Maybe it could happen to someone else. Or we don't know how these things work. But a person should accustom himself not to say bad things. Ki buris kerusa lisvasayim. Hashem has set in nature, set in the world, a power to the lips. When something comes out of the lips, you don't know what power that has. The ain lasos moir latinik b'davar tamek. You should not teach a child, give instructions to a child b'davar tamek. What do we mean? Kagoyin loymar chosol ikelav yikachehu. A cat or a dog yikachehu will take him away. Now I don't really.
Don't scare little kids.
Don't scare children by telling them that monsters will come and take them away and things like that because you don't know what will happen. Be very careful what comes out of your mouth. Okay, let me read you what it says over here on the bottom. Okay, over here he's elaborating. He's saying you should never say loyaleinu. Like we have that expression when you talk about something terrible, you say Rachmana litzlan me'akadosh baruch hu, spare us loyaleinu v'yizomer shlo lachotzi davar piv b'purus al yachid al tzibur k'shemoydia izet tsar yoymar. It says here, whenever a person says something that's terrible, you should always say the words loy aleichem. There's a custom not to inform someone of death, okay, where it's possible. It's not always possible to do this, but generally, it's not a good idea to tell someone, guess what? Guess who died today? Guess who died? That's not the Jewish way. The way deaths are announced are by the written word. By today it's easy, email. So today it's a very simple matter. But years ago, where there was no email, how would you let people know? You put a sign in shul that everyone knows about. So you have no choice. You have to call them up and let them know.
Don't go to shul.
What? Okay, but there is definitely something to it. When you have an option, again, it's not always possible, when you have an option of not saying, informing a person with your mouth, with your dibur, that someone died, don't say it. It's better to let the person inform people through the written word. That is the halacha. What?
It's a certain sensitivity.
It's saying more. It's saying that it's a certain koyach, saying things that bring, saying when you tell someone the basurah, It's very shocking. People are shocked. They react in a very horrible way. It's a very horrible feeling.
When that trauma comes
through the koyach hadibur, in the spiritual world, things are shaken up. People have to experience trauma. That's why Hashem made the world. We have no choice. We can't avoid that. But for that trauma to come about through the koyach hadibur, it's an abuse of Hashem's gift. Hashem gave man a beautiful gift, the koyach hadibur. Don't abuse it. Use it to inform people of good things. Don't use it to bring about sorrow. Sorrow, there has to be information relayed. Okay, so use the koyach hadibur, put it in writing, put up a sign. But don't abuse your koyach hadibur. That's the basic gist of this concept. Don't speak nivul pen. Always say nice things. Okay, maybe let's just do one halacha of tzedak. A very quick one halacha. Aleph, first halacha. Run through very quickly. Mitzvah sase litein tzedaka. Your brother shall live with you. If a person asks you if it's tzedakah and you do not give him, do not make your heart strong. And do not strengthen your heart to be stingy and to the person. Tighten. Now, it's a very interesting idea. Sa'amets means to strengthen. Imutz means, what it means, because a person naturally, the natural way, Jews are rachmonim. That's nature. For you not to give, you're going against your nature. You're strengthening yourself. I mean, mechazik myself to something which is not my nature. That's why it says sa'amets. Don't make your heart strong to do something you ordinarily would not do. Your natural inclination is to give every person who comes and asks you for a handout, to give them something. Don't hold back. Do not hold back. Do not close your hand from your brother who is an Evian. Whenever you're giving tzedakah, you're going in the ways of our forefather Avraham. Shenemar, ki yedativ Hashem tano ben Avraham Avinu, lemana sheyitzav esponov. Pasuk concludes, lasos tzedakah. So tzedakah, that's not necessarily the pasuk Shabbat, this is how the kids is learning it. Let's talk literally that the derech of Avram is to give charity, even though you would learn Pasha to do the right thing, tzedek, righteousness. Righteousness is a general term, but you can learn the Pasha simply as well. Okay, today, unfortunately, we're inundated with so many collectors. So what do you do? So what do you do? It's a very big problem. It's a very big problem with different customs. I advise you, if you can, it really made a very powerful impression on me, if you can get hold of it, in Ami magazine, there was a, no, it was a Mishpacha, I don't remember, one of the two magazines over Sukkos. In the Sukkos edition, they have a big monster edition of Sukkos, hot competition between the two magazines, and they had an incredible write-up of the collectors, what they go through, of the whole process, of the humiliation of... Unfortunately, they're born into a situation where they don't have many options, and sometimes they need to come to America to collect, and where they stay, and how they get their letters, and what it's like hearing it from their end, what it's like, their perspective, what it's like to go around collecting from shul to shul, their driver, their host, the collectors. So that's what they're referring to. Part of the article about those people who go around for themselves to collect money for their children, to make a wedding, just for themselves. Okay, they have signs, but okay, you read that article. You hear it from their side. You got to really be really, really a rock hard not to be moved. How humiliating it is for them.
Rabbi Belsky always says, "Give a dime,
a nickel, a dime, yeah."
And if you pick your certain tzedakas in Eretz Yisrael, in the Boston Shul, there's a sign up by the Boston Rebbe. They copied it, which says, "Before you give all these people money, you should know that." The little pennies that you think is something adds up to a lot of money at the end of the year. The same here. You should be very careful. You shouldn't waste, because this money you can give, hold a family. You can support a family who needs it instead of spreading it to these guys who get loads of money anyway.
Okay, yes and no. Yes and no.
The only thing is, these guys live off the government.
All it is, you should give your money to their government.
Not all of them live off the government. Not all of them Americans. A lot of them, we live in
the ones here just collecting from themselves.
Yes and no, it all depends. Yes and no. You're not so simple. Okay, not so simple. All right, so let's go further. I don't have any solution. I don't have a solution. I don't know the answer. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do when they're flooded. What? Some are, some not. New York is not too good. Out of town, they're screened.
Out of town,
it's much more organized. Not in New York, not in Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, out of New York City, it's a different situation. There's a whole process. There are vadim. In Brooklyn, it's a hefkevelt. It's a different world. So it says here in the Kitzur that Hashem's throne, or really the Kitzur Yisrael, the throne of Klal Yisrael, is only established, and the Emes is only established through Tztaka. Shnemar b'Tztaka tikonani, established through Tztaka. V'gol ho'yitzat Tztaka yosem mikol avgonu shnemar, giving Tztaka is greater than offering a carbon. Asay Tztaka mishpat nifchal Hashem mizavach, doing Tztaka mishpat is more precious to Hashem than a sacrifice. V'ein Yisrael n'golav elu b'Tztaka, the only way we redeem this called Tztaka, shnemar tziyam b'mishpat tibodav v'shaveha, and it's the exiles will be returned with Tztaka. A person does not become poor from giving tzedakah. Test me. Every penny you give tzedakah, Hashem will give back to you. The mas tzedakah brings peace. Dr. Fruchter. Call Amirachim, Amirachim loved when he has Rachmanis, Amirachim loved our Rachmanis upon him, Shem is impossible, but doesn't look Rachmim, Hashem will give you Rachmim, Rechamcha, Rebechan, he will have compassion upon you, and he will cause you to increase. V'chol Mishu Achzori, Yesh, look at this, this is scary stuff. Yesh Lachush Li Yichus, so anyone who's cruel, check into his Yichus. Wow. V'akadosh Baruch Hu Karv L'Shava Sarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to their cries. When an Ani cries out, Hashem listens, so you don't want to get in his way. You don't want to get on his bad side. Pasuk in the pasuk, v'tzakas aniyim yishma. L'fichli v'tzoch li'zob v'tzakosim. Be very careful to cause an ani tsar. Sharei beris kuso lohem. They have treaty. Whatever they say, whenever they're mispalo Hashem and shnem avoya ki yitzak ilai v'shmati ki chanun ani. V'am yushami tare t'loy tiposach la'anya tiposach le'osu. I don't know what that means. Tara deloti pasach, a door that's not open. La anya ti pasach la osya will be open for osya for trouble. I think osya means tragedy. If you don't open the door for the ani, you'll end up opening the door for other problems. Something along those lines. So if you have to open your door anyway. So you might as well open the door to let in the poor man. Better than have Hashem open your door for people that are going to come into the house that you're not going to want to greet for bad purposes. The Yitain Adam of Libo Shumavakesh Kol Shopar Nasasim Akhil Shbarochi Shumimispal Kamashu, Mavakesh Akhil Shbarochi Yishma Shabbos, Tiloso King Yishma Hu Yishavasanim. You should be Mispalo that Akhil Shbarochi, it's unbelievable thing what it says here. The Shmal that Akhil Shbarochi should listen to the prayers of the poor people. Gam Yitain the Adam of Libo Kihu Galgul Hachayzebelam. It's a gilgul hachayzeb olam. Every comes a point in time when a person's wealth does not last, and he is on the receiving end. And if you'll give now, then you will not be humiliated when it comes your turn to take. The sov shiavuhu I ben benoy lekabel tzedaka. I know mamish stories like this. I know people who I know someone that their great grandfather. Okay, their great grandfather was one of the wealthiest people in Poland. And the great-grandson doesn't have parnasa. So you never expect, it's the great-grandfather. We ever think that he has parnasa. I mean, he was one of the wealthiest people. And how could it be? How could it be? Mikotza lakotza? Gilgul hachayze bo'olam. So you never know. Ve'al yal la'libo lemar ech atzah memoni v'lutin lanim ki yesh lo ladas she'ein hamamon shaloi. It's not your money. The money has only been given to you as your custodian. When you go to the next world, what's the Baal Musar? Here we receipts count, right? When you come to the next world, you buy things, you acquire olam haba not with money, but with receipts. Show us the receipts of how much tzedakah you've given, and that's what, the more receipts you have, the more olam haba you acquire. Tzedakah tatzil mimavis. It's no joke. Okay, it's the real deal. Tzedakah tatzil mimavis. And then my mother told me from my grandmother, Allah Hashamet, she was in, I think, it wasn't the Chofetz, it could be it was the Chofetz Chaim. I remember, but they were on a train, and it could be the Chofetz Chaim. Maybe it was someone of that caliber, and she passed by this person, and he said to her, "Give tzedakah so that you'll be saved." So she got scared. What does that mean? Give tzedakah so you'll be saved. So she gave right away tzedakah, small amount of tzedakah. And surely thereafter, she was in a very great sakana. Someone came, there was a bandit, someone, and she could have been killed. And she just, hashgacha prata, she narrowly escaped. And she looked back that this person had Ruach HaKodesh, who this person was, and he told her, give tzedakah. Tzedakah, tatzil mimavis. It's not something to make light of. It's a beautiful thing. And people give tzedakah every single day. By dadding, they would say, v'ho oisher, v'ya kovod mulfanecha, v'ya atom moshel b'akol. You set aside a quarter, a nickel, a dime, to get in the frame of mind to give a small amount of tzedakah every single day, in addition to the large amounts of tzedakah you give at the Yisker appeal.
Not to scare everybody, but he says ani, it's the definition of ani is he doesn't have $200 in his possession. So most of these people are not ani.